Hawks Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and once again, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, for another member of the Class of 2020 for the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, that's exactly right. We are pleased to be joined by Mark Connor. He is a former assistant coach at Tennessee, former head coach at Tennessee, a longtime pitching coach in the major leagues. Mark, how are you doing?
Good. How are you all doing?
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. And what was your reaction when you were told that you'd been selected for to the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, I was surprised, but I'm also honored. You know, having lived here and made our home here for close to 50 years, it's definitely a nice honor to get.
When did you know that you wanted to be a pitching coach at the major league level?
Well, I started out at the university with Coach Wright as a pitching coach for him. And, you know, one thing kind of led to another, and I had the opportunity to go to rookie ball with the Yankees and then to A-ball with the Yankees. And I never really, to be honest with you, I never really thought that I'd ever be a big league pitching coach. But, you know, I was very fortunate to have been around some great people, and they went to bat for me, and it all worked out.
You pitched and you played some pro ball, and I was just wondering, after an arm injury cut things short, what was the transition like, and where did you get the ball rolling to become a coach?
Well, you know, I tried to pitch my way through a shoulder situation that I had back in those days. There was no surgery or anything like that. I was taking a bunch of prescription medication and some shots in my shoulder, and finally got tired of that. And, you know, I had the opportunity to come here. Actually, I was on my way to become a fighter pilot in the Navy, and Coach Wright offered me the opportunity to come here and be his assistant. And, you know, fate's a strange thing sometimes. And, you know, we turned the car to Knoxville, and we've been here ever since.
That's incredible that that's how Knoxville became home. And as you mentioned, you've been here almost 50 years. What was it like to work with Coach Wright, as well as there were a lot of two-sport athletes in that stage of Tennessee baseball, or I should say Tennessee athletics, that folks would be quite familiar with? What was that like?
Yeah, you don't see it as much anymore, but, you know, you start with Conridge Holloway, who, of course, was a great quarterback at the university and played shortstop for us. Randy Wallace, another quarterback, went on to play pro ball with the Cubs, I believe. Tommy West was a two-sport star. Johnny Yarbrough, you know, we had a bunch of them, and you know, it was a fun group. Those guys, we still stay in touch with some of them over the years, and of course Rick Honeycutt's a good friend of mine, and we stay in touch a lot. And it was a great time. It really was. Coach Wright, you know, I give the credit to him for jump-starting my coaching career for sure. Because if I hadn't come here, I don't know what I would have been doing.
Mark, where were you when Coach Wright hired you?
I was actually on Long Island, and my wife Katie and I were packing up the car to go to Pensacola and go to flight training in the Navy. That's a true story.
Wow. Interesting. Well, so you had an arm injury as a player, and you became a pitching coach, and I wonder, was there any way the arm injury helped you as a pitching coach, and that it was, okay, this is how I suffered my injury, and I can maybe prevent this or help pitchers? Is there anything to that?
I think there was. Again, going back to my Yankee days, I hooked up with a pitching coach named Sammy Ellis, who preceded me to the big leagues with the Yankees and a few other clubs. But Sammy was a pioneer in the art of mechanics of pitching. He was one of the first guys that ever talked about mechanics, and we'd spend days and nights talking about pitching during spring training, and he kind of took me under his wing and showed me the different things in the delivery that can cause injuries and things that you can prevent injuries with by doing in a delivery. And, you know, it kind of evolved, of course, over the last 40 years, but you know, there's still people talking about mechanics, maybe not as much as it used to be with all the analytics, but for sure, you know, there's ways to help kids, to help them prevent themselves from getting hurt.
Looking at your resume, I saw you coached Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling. You had Ron Guidry. You had some mighty good pitchers through the years. Randy Johnson won a couple of Cy Youngs when you were at Arizona. And I wonder, was it easy being a pitching coach for Randy Johnson, or was it a challenge dealing with somebody that was 6'10"?
It was a challenge. Yeah. Randy, you know, Randy was pretty good before he came to Arizona, but the years he put up in Arizona, I guess, were the things that got him into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, you're always on top of that big delivery. There's so many things that could go wrong in the delivery. You know, he worked really hard to simplify it, and he did a great job at doing that. Of course, you know, y'all probably remember that he had trouble throwing the ball over the plate for the better part of his early career. And, you know, I think Nolan really helped him a lot, and some of the other pitching coaches he had in Seattle. But, you know, once he got it together, it was Katie barred the door.
What was it like to work with him, coach to player, because he's got such, we'll just say, a stoic personality in regards to dealing with the media? I don't know that he was ever a big fan of doing that, but you never have to be. But what was it like working with him, and how coachable was he?
He was coachable. I loved Randy. You know, I think basically a shy person, mm-hmm. and that probably translated into how he handled the media a little bit. But, you know, always, you know, growing up and always being uncoordinated and being the tall, skinny kid and being looked at and probably made fun of a little bit, probably introverted him a little bit. But he was great to work with. I mean, I never had a problem with Randy, never had a cross word with Randy. And he was fun to watch every fifth day. He made me pretty smart on the days he pitched.
So is it safe at all to say, because I don't want to judge a book by its cover, Curt Schilling, opposite side of that coin from Randy Johnson personality-wise?
Different, completely different personality. Very outgoing, very sure of himself, knew exactly what he wanted to do. Both of them were tremendous, tremendous competitors in their own right. But, you know, Schill was... you know, knew exactly what he wanted to do, whereas, you know, Randy can get to give him a game plan, even if he strayed from the game plan because his stuff was so good, it didn't really matter. But Curt, you know, Curt had the four-pitch repertoire. Randy was a two-pitch guy for the most part. And, you know, completely different kinds of pitchers, but in their own right, I think Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame. Hopefully he gets there one day. Both of them big game pitchers, and both of them great guys to be around and to work with.
Speaking of working with, we caught up last week with VFL R.A. Dickey. And at the time that he was with Texas and you were with Texas, he was doing his best to be the best pitcher he could be. It was before he worked on and developed his ability to throw the knuckleball. What was it like working with R.A., and what was it like to see him evolve into the pitcher he eventually became?
Well, I got a list of about five people that are my favorite people in baseball, and R.A.'s right there at the top of it. You know, unfortunately, when we had R.A. in Texas, he was conventional. Mm-hmm. He was trying to pitch conventionally, and he was basically an 87 to 90 guy. He had that little knuckle curve going, and great changeup, another fierce competitor on the mound. But, you know, the stuff was just a little bit short. And, you know, he got the most out of the way he pitched at that point in time. But he always fooled around with this knuckleball. And Oral Hershiser, who was the pitching coach at the time, I was the bullpen coach at that time, you know, we just encouraged him to throw it more and more and more, and finally convinced him to go to the minor leagues and just become, you know, 100% knuckleball guy. And worked out pretty well for R.A.
Yes, I guess Mark Conner, he's going into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame as a pitching coach. I want to ask you about this. So, Mark, when I was in – I used to live in Lafayette, and I covered for 3 years and followed and interviewed a pitcher by the name of Ron Guidry. And I would say he was on a different spectrum from Randy Johnson, because he must have weighed about, I don't know, 160 pounds. You worked with him for a while. What are your thoughts on Ron Guidry?
Gator says he weighed 160. I don't know if he really got there or not. But I'll tell you a little funny story. When I became the pitching coach in New York, midway through the 84 season, I think, and I'd known Ronnie from spring trainings and things like that, but I walked into the clubhouse in Detroit. That's where I met the club. And he walked right up to me. He goes, "Just so you know, I don't run." You know, and those days pitchers ran a lot. But what he did was during batting practice, he stayed in center field and he'd cover foul line to foul line on fly balls. But another guy, I mean, in 85, I think 84, he struggled a little bit. 85, he came back when Billy Martin was the manager, and I was a pitching coach, and he ended up, I think, with 21 or 22 wins. And, you know, he wasn't quite the Gator that he was in 78, but he was, you know, he was pretty close to it and had a great year. Another guy ended up being a pitching coach. Kind of surprised me a little bit, but he ended up being a pitching coach in New York later on. But, you know, another guy was a great competitor and gave everything he had, and good teammate. He was another guy that was fun to be around.
Well, that 78, you referenced that. He was 25-3. He had a 1.74 ERA. He was the Cy Young Award winner unanimously. He was second in the MVP voting. Just had a remarkable year. But before that, I was reading where the Yankees twice were looking at trading him and couldn't get the deals done. So they got stuck with him in 1976, and he became a tremendous pitcher.
Yeah, ended up. I think he came up to the big leagues as a reliever.
He did.
And Sparky Lyle kind of tweaked that slider he had a little bit, and the slider became, you know, the big pitch for him. Of course, you know, Gator had a great delivery, could throw strikes, great command, but you know, and he threw in the mid 90s, but the slider was the thing that got him over the hump. And you know, again, kind of like Randy, in a two pitch pitcher that had some great years. And, you know, ended up with a couple World Series rings and did all right for himself.
Mark, you came back to Tennessee. You were the head coach of the Volunteers for a couple of seasons. And we also got to one of our favorite people that we talk baseball with is one Mike Barnett. And if you would, just share a little bit about Mike and your relationship with him.
Another good story. When I got the job at Tennessee as the head coach, I rounded up my staff, and Barney was at the top of my list. I wanted Barney to be our hitting coach. He had spent so much time with Lou Piniella, who was the hitting coach in New York and the manager in New York, and I knew Mike really knew a lot about hitting. And so, you know, we talked and told him, "Look, I got this job. You got to keep it quiet, but do you want to come?" And he said, "Yeah, I definitely want to come." And you know, when the time came at the end of the season, we packed up and came to Knoxville, and Barney came with his family, and I got a pretty nasty letter from Mr. Steinbrenner about taking Mike Barnett with me as my assistant. But I think he forgave me because he hired me back a few years later.
Well, and that's another instance where somebody came to Knoxville and never left, right?
Right. Barney's still here. He's had a great career. You know, he's with the Indians, as you guys know, and he's carved out a pretty good career for himself, too. You know, one of my other assistants ended up with managing in the big leagues for quite a few years, Freddie Gonzalez.
Yeah, Freddie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Freddie managed the Marlins, managed Atlanta, and
yep.
I think he's bench coach for the Mets right now.
Mark, we talked the other day. Coach Majors passed away yesterday, and I think you had told me that you had seen him maybe not that long ago at Long's Drugstore. What are your memories of Coach Majors?
Well, when I came here, he was obviously the head coach, and one of the first days that we were together, and our staff was together in the office there at Stokely. Coach Majors came in the office, sat down, introduced himself like he really needed to, you know, and. You know, we had a really nice relationship. He'd come down the field in the spring and watch games when he wasn't busy, and stayed in touch over the years. And actually, when he was at Pitt, when I was with the Diamondbacks, we went in to play the Pirates, and I invited him over to the ballpark and came in the clubhouse. And, you know, all these all-star Major League Baseball players were just in awe of Johnny Majors. Would come into our clubhouse, Randy Johnson and these guys. And he just sat around. He just sat around like he was another guy, you know, and he didn't want to leave that night. I believe he might have had Mitch Barnhart with him. Is that possible? Was Mitch in Pitt? I forget. I don't know if Mitch was at Pitt at that time or not. But anyway, yeah, I had a lot of respect for Coach Majors. That was a heartbreaker yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Congratulations for your selection into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame.
Jimmy, can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
My career never would have been possible without my wife, Katie's support. She, you know, was behind me the whole way. She took care of the kids and take care of the bills and everything that went on away from the field. You know, she moved the kids up to a different city, wherever we were, find a place to live. And it, you know, never would have been possible. We've been married over 48 years now, and she is the sweetheart of my life.
Well, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yep. Mark, we appreciate it.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you. Good talking to you. That is Mark Connor going into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame.